I'm gonna go ahead and call this meeting to order. The Orange Cove City Council regular meeting Wednesday, August 9th, 2023, 6:30 PM at the City of Orange Cove Council Chamber, 633 6th Street, Orange Cove, California. And I'd just like to welcome everybody here and you mean a lot to us. And we're gonna try to take care of business as well as we can and do the best that we can for you, for everybody that's here. Everybody's important. We're not just anybody, we're somebody's everybody. So I'd like to, you know, just welcome you here tonight, and it's really good to see, I can't say old faces, but just everybody, and I see a lot of young people here. Thank you for being here. And, okay, Madam Clerk, may I have roll call, please?
Mayor Diana Guerra Silva.
I'm present.
Mayor Pro Tem Gilbert Garcia.
Present.
Councilmember Josie Cervantes.
Present.
Councilmember Esperanza Rodriguez.
Present.
Councilmember Maria Vasio.
Present.
Okay, we have a quorum to do business. I'm gonna ask Mayor Pro Tem Gilbert Garcia if you would lead us in the invocation, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, Father God. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, today to make the right decisions for the city, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for those that are gathered here today to be with us, Lord. And thank you for the what we're going to be doing this evening, Father God. And that's, Lord, welcoming these two new gentlemen, Father God, to the Orange Cove Police Department. The promotion is beginning today, Father God. Pray that you would bless their families that are here today with us in this occasion, Lord God. And we thank you for our law enforcement, our first responders, Lord. And we thank you for those for the community that are here gathered to help us. And Lord, just help us to make the right decisions tonight for our city, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, thank you so much. Flag salute. I'm going to request Council Member Esperanza Rodriguez to lead us in the flag salute, please.
Ready, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under all God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, thank you so much. Okay, that was number one. Number two is the confirmation of the agenda, Council, or we're good?
We're good.
Okay, thank you so much. That was number two. We're gonna go on to number three, ceremonial presentation, swearing in of sergeants, Jose Luis Galeana and Daniel Robert Parra. Sir, Chief.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Good evening, Mayor and Council, and everybody here today. Thank you for coming. First off, today's a good night for the entire City of Orange Cove and the Orange Cove Police Department. Since the inception in 2009 for the Orange Cove PD, we have not had three sergeants in our department for almost 6 or 7 years. Tonight marks the first night in 6 or 7 years that we have three sergeants and are back to capacity. This is good because it shows that we have the responsibility of putting well-trained officers back on the supervisory level, which not only benefits the department, but it benefits the citizens of Orange Cove. Why? Because we have officers that are out there doing daily activities, and we have those responsible that take accountability, making sure they do a job that's right, that benefits the community and all. So if I can have at this time both officers step up here with me on the right side, please.
Can I interject a little bit?
Yes, absolutely.
Is there anybody in the community que necesita escuchar la junta en español? No? Okay.
No. Just was. So to my right here, I have Jose Luis Galeana, and to the right of him, we have Corporal Daniel Parra. And a little bit about them real quick. Corporal Parra is married, has one son. They're corporals now, but they're gonna be sergeants. Corporal Parra, soon to be sergeant, is married, has one son. He has been with the department for 12 years, and he has been assigned to the current details as K-9 officer, FTO, which is a field training officer, range master. He's a terrorist liaison. We call him TLOs, and currently taking the position of right now as corporal, but soon to be sergeant. Corporal Galeana is also married, has four kids, has been with the department for 9 years. He has been assigned to MAGIC, FTO, terrorist liaison. He is a corporal right now, and he also has prior military service with the Marine Corps. At this point in time, I'm going to turn it over to Dora. She'll be doing the swearing ceremony for them. And I promise everybody here that these two officers, they do laugh. So if you guys see them out there, they do smile. They're not just as rigid as they are.
Go ahead and stand in front of them. Oh, yeah, get in front of them.
Now, I just want to let you guys know that we want to hold the applause until after they have been pinned. So I'm going to go ahead and start with both of you. I'm going to repeat after me. Turn your hand up. I.
I, Jose Galliano.
Daniel Wagner.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I support and defend.
That I support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the Constitution.
And allegiance to the Constitution.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution.
Of the State of California.
The State of California.
That I will take this obligation.
That I will take this obligation.
Freely without any.
Freely without any.
Mental reservations.
Mental reservations.
Or purpose of evasion.
Purposes of evasion.
And that I will well.
That I will well.
And faithfully discharge.
Faithfully discharge.
The duties upon.
Duties upon.
Which I am about to enter.
Which I am about to enter.
If we can have the family members that are going to pin the officer step up, please. It does take practice to get that pin right in. Well, ladies and gentlemen, to the City of Orange Grove, we present to you Sergeant Parra and Sergeant Galliano. Anything to say right now to the community and the council? It's perfect time.
I will. Yeah. You know, I've been here for almost 14 years now, and it's been a long time. And I've never ever not considered myself as a part of this community during those 14 years. I may not live here, but I still have always considered myself as a part of this community. In those 14 years, you can imagine I may have not seen eye to eye with certain way the city had ran. Certain way that the department have ran, which is understandable, right? But where I'm going with this is I'm excited. I'm excited with the future that the city might have under this new leadership. I'm excited we have a new mayor now. I'm excited new city manager, council, some old, some new, and also now a new chief of police to lead us on our side. And I just want to say I'm excited to be part of it. I consider myself fortunate to be part of it. I hope, I'm confident the city's going to flourish in the future, and I want to be part of it.
I started off here actually about 30 years ago. My dad owned a restaurant right here on Park and Second, seafood restaurant, and little did I know that years later I'd be working here as a police officer. And actually there was no PD back then, so but it's good. I like working in the small community. You know, I've had opportunities to go with bigger agencies, but bigger agencies in reality are just a number. And here, cause I've been here 9 years, I've gotten to know a lot of the residents here, seen the community grow, and it's with the new management we have here in the city, we're getting a lot of new development, and so it's good to see you know, this town flourish like it needs to. And so hopefully with the new sergeants, and we're able to bring up this PD, and hopefully, you know, provide better service to the citizens here, and like I said, hopefully the PD and the city can grow together.
Thank you much. stand there and take some pictures?
Yeah. The family members want to come and take some pictures? Want to take pictures?
Yes.
Chief, you want to be in there? Does that go for the court?
Sure.
Do you mind if I put the chief in there?
Yeah.
Request at 1023 in Nora for a dialysis patient there with chief.
Looks like it's yours, the word.
Yes, please. Request at 1023 in Nora for the ticket.
I don't know why talks that are back.
They just came to last minute.
No, no, you're fine.
Thank you, chief.
Council Mayor, I was going to ask if you guys okay if you guys just stand up.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Italia.
I don't want my stomach to
be. They're going to take a picture with you. If you guys could just stand right here and they'll be behind you.
Then you too.
Is it better this way or better up there if they go up there?
I think it's better like this.
Like this? Okay.
Yeah.
Just take it high. That we get
everybody. You got to get in
there, son. No, not you guys.
You got to get in.
Here, let me take it for you. Oh, I said don't
take my stomach. Yeah, take it out
of the hand. I didn't wear my girdle today.
Come on,
sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. Excuse
me. I can see some council members, but not.
Stand on the chair.
Yeah.
No, I don't just want to touch you.
We don't want that rocks.
Congratulations, Scorpio.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you. You want to stay for a little
bit? Thank you. Thank you.
Sergeants, you want to stay just for a little bit if we have a word for you?
Okay.
Just hold on a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. I have a little word, a word, and maybe the council just to go. Sergeants Galeana and Parra, this is very, it's a big step. I'd like to congratulate you on this promotion. You know, it's not something little, it is a big step. And I just like to say, you know, you make us proud, you make me proud. I have a son that's an officer and I know how hard it is. He's not a sergeant, just an officer. Well, I shouldn't say just an officer, but I know, I mean, how difficult, you know, it is. And I thank you for all your service that you have given to this community. I'm very proud, I'm very honored that you're part of us, you know, Orange Cove Police Department. And I pray that God blesses you in your new endeavor and that you will not stop at this. I mean, the sky's the limit. You know, we always hear that the sky's the limit. And this, yeah, I'm just really proud. I'm just really proud to see you both promoted here today. And I hope, Chief, we will have many more. And I know that we have top-notch officers in our community. And I thank you so much for your service and your dedication and your promotion. And I congratulate the family too, because if it wasn't for the wives and the, well, the family, the wives and the children, I mean, this would not be possible. I mean, they are behind you 100%. I know I'm behind my son 100%. He's not married, but 100%, and that's what it takes. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
and congratulations. Anybody?
I would like to say, you know, just to see the excitement of the families when they came up, to see them taking pictures of the your sons that came up, you know, I see their faces, like, they're so proud of their dad, you know? I mean, that's to me, it brings an excitement that, to see that the families are here united, you know, to for this moment. It's a big step. You know, you don't realize the impact you're making to not only for the community here, the youth here, but also your own families. Mm-hmm. And the chief knows, he's been here since day one, you know, when they started in 2009. Law enforcement is number one in my book, you know that. And we support you, we'll always be here to support you all. So congratulations on your promotions, and looking forward to see you on the streets. Not to get stopped, but
I'd like to say congratulations and thank you for all the hard work you all have done. Thank you, Chief. And sergeants. Thank you for all you do for our city. Congratulations.
And we're all grateful. I know they're grateful for your guys' support and the community's support. And when it comes down to it, that's the most important thing. I mean, we've been doing that since day one. That's where we get our foundation from. And actually, that's where a lot of our officers are starting out are coming from, these youth that are coming into age and going to the police academy, and they're patrolling in all streets. So it's a good move forward. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, that was number three, ceremonial presentations. We're going to go on to presentation, active transportation plan update presentation from Fresno Council of Governments.
Representing the Fresno Council of Governments. My name is Simran Judy. I'm a senior planner. And today we'll be discussing the regional active transportation plan update, which the city of Orange Cove is included. So earlier today, our consultant team here, Farron Pierce, solicited input from the community of Orange Cove on what their bicycle and pedestrian facility concerns are. And so what this update really aims to do is just to equip Orange Cove with the tools to compete for all funding sources that support active transportation. And they have extensive knowledge and familiarity with disadvantaged communities. I'll allow Rod to speak a little bit further about what we would like to request from the city of Orange Cove. And if you have any further questions, I'm here. I'll be sharing my contact information and a little bit more about Fresno COG with each of the council members today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Simran. My name's Rod Brown. I'm a consultant with Farron Pierce. We helped develop the first active transportation plan for the Fresno Council of Governments about 5 years ago. So active transportation includes walking and biking and rolling, whether it's on a wheelchair or on a scooter or anything like that. It's any way that you get around under your own power, or, you know, with some people with electrical assist and things like that. But it's getting people, you know, out of the car and onto their feet and things like that. This plan, you can see some maps that we have here, includes things like sidewalks and crosswalks, bike lanes and trails and things like that. The goal with this plan is to identify ways that we can help make walking and biking biking easier and safer for the city, and ultimately to meet all the requirements that are in place, that are put in place by the state, so that you can successfully apply for funding in the various programs that are out there. So you can consider this plan as essentially the homework that needs to be done so that you can be successful in those applications. As I mentioned, we helped put the original plan together 5 years ago. We know that, you know, things have changed. Coming here today, we've seen a lot of the things that have been built, see new sidewalks, see new crosswalks. I know from talking to the city manager that the city's had success in getting funding for different improvements, which is excellent. You know, all that will help show the support that the city gives to walking and biking. And so we'll be here. We were here earlier to get comments from the public. We're also here to answer questions about the process. And as Simran mentioned, we'll provide our contact information so that you can give us your input as well on how we can make walking and biking safer within the city. I'll keep my comments short to that. Happy to hear any questions that you have or anything you'd like to state about walking and biking and how we can improve things.
So, okay, you have the outline in color over here.
Yes.
And you don't have it over here. I'm just wondering why. I know that one's in Spanish. This was in English, but...
No, actually, both of these are in Spanish and in English.
So. Okay, but I'm just looking at the top.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it is, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I zeroed in on the color or something like that. Yeah.
So these are two different maps. This map is focused on walking.
The
walking facilities.
Okay.
And this map is focused on biking facilities.
Oh, okay.
So the purple lines that you see on here, the dashed lines are plans that have been put in place in the past for bike lanes and stuff like that. The green line, so the green line that you see going diagonally through the city, that solid green line is the trail that you have now.
Uh-huh.
And the dashed green lines are places where there have been plans made in the past for making new trails around the city. So we're taking comments on that, and we'll work with the city manager and city staff to see how we can make sure we meet the current needs of the city and update this to have those facilities so that people can get to where they need to go to for their daily needs by walking and biking.
Okay, and that's upon availability of funds, right, Dan?
Yes, so what happens is funding sources will come available. They'll be in tune with us. We have a grant writer that will help us to go after those funds. But when you do that, in the requirements is public meetings and so forth. So we do them ahead of time so that we can apply for those grants right off the bat. Otherwise, we're playing catch up and having to come back and do all this after the fact. And they're competitive. So we want to get them as quick as we can so we can get the money as fast as we can. That's why we do this now. And then, like I said, when you'll find out the sources and then let us know, and then we go out and apply for them.
So the active transportation program that the state has is one of the primary things that we look at. It's probably the biggest source of funds for walking and biking in the state. They have a list of, I think it's 13 different requirements that need to be in a plan. We make sure we go and check off each of those to make sure that they're included in the plan that we put together. As part of this plan too, in addition to the active transportation program, there are other sources of funding, and we include a summary of those different sources so that the city manager and others can use that when they're looking for funds to build these facilities. This is also used by Simran and the Fresno Council governments when they're looking at using some of the Measure C funds and allocating those around the county as well.
So the map here on the right,
yep.
The red outline, is that where there's no sidewalks? Is that what
correct?
It is?
Correct.
Okay.
So there's a few different colors here. So the blue means that there's sidewalks on both sides of the street. The orange means that there's sidewalk on only one side of the street, and the red means no sides of the street. Okay.
Some work to be done on the sidewalks, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't just look at sidewalks. The other thing that we look at, too, are intersections. And crossing the street is also important. So some of the things that you'll see out here include the how the sidewalks bump out into the street so that it gets the walkers closer to the middle so they can get out in front of the cars. You also see things like the rapid flashing beacons that are, you know, the people press the button and go like that. So we look at where those can be built within the city as well to help people get to like key destinations, whether it's downtown or the dollar store or things like that.
Hello, council, any questions?
That's what we'll do when we do the curb and gutter, when we come back with that plan and start doing the sidewalks. They'll all have little balls on that make them at least, you know, so a handicap post or blind post now that you're crossing an intersection. So we as a city, Dario, we'll plan those.
And it's also a requirement for any new facilities that we build that they have to have them.
Absolutely. We're in trouble as it is, the way the city is. I mean, it's, I don't know what we can do, but it's, I mean, it's
come
very great. It really is. We don't want a lawsuit at all.
Yeah, it comes down to funding. So as soon as we get the funding, we'll get the right funding.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, council?
Thank you
very much, and you'll be in contact. Dan, you'll be in contact with him.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you so much for coming out. Thank you for your presentation. Thank you. Now we're going to go on to buy the consent calendar. Is there anything on the consent calendar, council, that you wish to pull, or you'll just make a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve the consent calendar as presented.
Okay, motion's been made by Mayor Pro Tem Gilbert Garcia to approve, and second by Council Member Esperanza Rodriguez. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now we're going to go on to 6 regular business. 6A. There's 6A, B, and C, but 6A is to approve a revision of interim city manager Daniel. Interim City Manager Daniel Parra's employment agreement.
Yes, Council. So this item is it's a pretty simple revision. What it was, and I think it's been discussed prior, but the city manager gets the same health insurance that you as well as all the other employees get. That's what's in his contract. The only change that was made is that if he were to not elect to use the city's health insurance, he could get medical reimbursements for whatever he spends on medical up to the amount that the city would have paid if he was on the city's health insurance.
You're talking about the copays.
Yeah, things of that nature. Any type of medical expenses that he has, he can have reimbursed up to the amount the city would have spent if they would have covered him under the health plan.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
Only if he elects to not be on the city's health plan. So that's the only change that's being made, is clarifying that he can go through that process if that's what he wishes to do.
Okay. Council, recommendation is to approve the revised interim city manager's employment agreement.
I make a motion to approve it, presented.
Okay, Council Member Joseph Cervantes has made a motion to go ahead and approve as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Council Member Esperanza Rodriguez. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That was 8. Now 6B is subject, adopt a resolution 2023-37 submitting a request to the Fresno County Transportation Authority for year 2023-24 Measure C revenue and requesting distribution of said funds.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Good evening, Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, Council Members, city staff and residents. Before you is the adoption of resolution 2023-37. The Fresno County Transportation Authority adopted the attached Measure C extension local transportation purposes pass-through projects and program fund apportionment for fiscal year 23-24. These funds are available to claim and will be distributed monthly. Staff recommends council to approve Measure C, revenue and requesting distribution of said funds totaling $402,630. I'm available if you have any questions.
I don't have any questions, council.
So that will be used for what, mostly?
Streets.
Streets?
Maybe we'll say streets.
Yeah, okay. Is there any streets you're pretty much going to target?
Dario's going to talk to them about that after this report.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'll ask them when he gets here.
Unless you want to. You can cover the street portion just real quick.
Yeah.
Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem, and council members, the Measure C transportation money will be used towards a lease. We got some alley work that needs to be done. We got some following the Fresno COGS. The report that was done in 2019 has a variety of projects that are CPI things that they're making like in the 20%. So they're really, really bad. And so we have at least a dozen streets that will be constructed and rehabbed as part of that. So. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. Council?
That being said, I'll go ahead and make a motion.
Okay, motion's been made by Councilmember Josie Cervantes to approve.
I'll second it.
And second by Mayor Pro Tem Gilda Garcia. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. And 6C, subject, approve of voting delegates for League of California Cities.
So in front of you, well, in your packet, I have a form for delegates. So on the last day of the conference, they'll be voting on resolutions that they're trying to put forward. And to do so, you have to have this form drafted in a meeting and submitted who your first will be and then who an alternate will be. So if you want to choose between you, who you want, I'll put it in there, have you sign, and then we'll get to Super League. Anybody wants to volunteer?
I was on my last year.
You want a delegate? Okay, we'll make you delegate this year, and then we have an alternate. Okay, so we'll put you two forward. So I would ask if we get this approved so that we can get it forward.
I make a motion to approve the League of California City voting delegates. Presented.
I'll second.
Okay, a motion's been made by Mayor Pro Tem Gilbert Garcia and second by Council Member Maria Basio. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you so much. Now we're going to go on to 7, administration, public works and city engineer. Subject report by Assistant City Manager, Public Works Director, Dario Dominguez. Dario? Or should I say Mr. Dominguez?
Dario's fine. Mayor Pro Tem, council members, I have a few updates for you tonight. And I'll go ahead and go by department, starting with the water treatment plant. The filter system that was approved back in July has been purchased and will be hopefully installed in the next 6 to 8 weeks. It takes a while to get here. Working with FEMA to hopefully get that reimbursed through the disaster funds because it was actually part of the flood damages. Wastewater plant, the clarifier and pump work that was started 2 weeks ago has been completed. The clarifier and pump on the east clarifier will start hopefully later this week, no later than early next week. Again, shooting for FEMA, hopefully we can get that reimbursed eventually. Both plants in compliance with the water board, so if you guys are otherwise, you can come to me and I'm pretty sure we're on top of it. The well site, the $8 million grant, as you know, we had to relocate the locations for the new well site. We've identified a spot just west of town that will, it's still within the city limits, and we'll go ahead and start doing some testing. So hopefully we can get some good quality, some water quality there. And
Dario, I missed that. East of what did you say? The site.
It's on 12 and Adams. I think right behind the house.
You know what I heard, Kai, Michael? That's in Dayuba.
No. It's here in town and okay. within the city limits.
All right.
Limit, so,
all right.
So we don't have to, you know, go to the county or anything. So
it was actually a prior well that's been closed. They were only 200 feet. We're going to go deeper. And it's already there. We own the land. It's right behind the community, that little center that they have from the federal housing. It's right on that corner.
So we're going to shoot for that. There is grant monies for that. So it'll be totally, if it doesn't work out, it's totally reimbursed.
Okay, well, so this was a drilling that was supposed to happen with Johnson & Johnson on...
So that one...
No, the one on Mass...
By Ridley.
Oh, that's not, that's something different.
It's not an option. There was some issues there and we had...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we have to stay within the city.
Oh, okay, okay.
Otherwise, there's other players that need to get involved and we'll have some issues there, but...
So is it looking good with the engineers on the depth that they have to drill to get good water?
So the water depth is actually really high here, but it has some contamination that we have to deal with, and specifically nitrates. There is a way to treat nitrates, but it's just, it gets expensive, and we're hoping that side will work out. We have the money for it, so we're full effect on it. We're going to move forward on it.
What's the money's on it?
So we have $8 million.
$8 million,
The well site, just the well site is probably going to be over a million, probably 1.5. The treatment can go up to like 3 to 5. So I think we still have it, but that's the nature of what we have here in our town. So, but I'm excited moving forward with the test well, and hopefully we can, you know, get rich water.
We've already tested some water in some areas, and they weren't too bad.
No. Everything's, you know, all the contamination levels are pretty normal, except nitrates. So.
Nitrates are a problem. Have always been a problem here in Orange Cove.
A little bit of salt.
But
I think, I'm being nitrates. Optimistic. I think we're heading in the right direction, and hopefully get something going relatively quickly here. So that's water, wastewater. The next four things are our parks. Okay, let's start with Eaton Park. We've started demolition in-house. My staff's doing that. We'll probably be done in the next week and a half or so, and get it ready for the next drainage improvements that will be done by the contractor. The equipment, swings, playground, shading structure, everything has been ordered. Again, it takes a while, but I'm hoping that sometime in October we can start the installation of that, and we'll have some time to enjoy it. So that's Eaton Park.
And what's the amount of money on that one?
We actually negotiated pretty well. We went from $400,000 to $212,000.
Wow.
So we were able to just get a little bit of general fund money, but other than that, we negotiated the contract with the contractor.
That's coming out of general fund monies?
No, we got a grant for $175,000. So we're going to kick in about $35,000-$40,000 out of our pocket.
From our general fund,
which is a small amount. At the 420, we were going to kick in a lot.
Okay.
So we found a way to make it work with our staff. Demolition was going to cost us $30,000 alone.
Uh-huh.
We did it in-house, it cost us nothing. We already paid for the work, so.
Okay, good.
Okay. The next three parks, I'll go ahead and start with, actually two more. So Sequoia Community Park, this is the one right behind Burger King. That's still in the very conceptual design. More than likely the next city engineer will take on that one. But that's a $2.4 million grant, and it's, just right behind Burger King.
And the acreage on that one?
3.7.
Thank you.
And then, of course, you know, we have Sheridan Park. This one includes, obviously, a playground structure, some swing sets, and ADA paths that will be built through there. This one also has welcome signs to Orange Cove, so there's two signs that will be put probably on the main street. That one, it's also under design. The topographical survey has been completed. And then a street project we have on Park Boulevard and Anchor, that street intersection. That one's $1.9 million. It includes sewer piping on Park Boulevard all the way to Manson. It has a drainage and sidewalk improvements, and also lighting. Lighting is super important in the city, so it's got a lighting component. That one should be out for bid in about 2 weeks. So next time I talk to you guys, it's probably going to be out in the streets. And then smaller projects, we have this flooding drainage issue that we had here on 6 and G Street. That one is also been performed by staff. I know there was quotes like $75,000 and $25,000 quotes that it was not feasible for our budget. So We're doing it in-house. I think it's a phase project. I think for now we'll alleviate some of that flooding there, and that should be completed in the next couple of days. And then we approved the speed bumps during consent calendar. So the first thing was to address it. You know, we had to get the city standard approved first before we can go into installations. So now that the city standard has been approved, we can go out there and localize some of the problem areas that need speed bumps, which is a lot of them.
A lot of them?
Mm-hmm.
And how many?
A lot.
It's a lot.
We're
okay.
Getting a lot of complaints. So we approved two city standards. One that has the paving.
Uh-huh.
Those become really expensive. So those will be done by contractors. But the other city standards, like they're rubberized, and you can actually relocate those if you don't like them in one area. On both of them, get them to a different area that is more troublesome. Mm. So that's on speed bumps. I appreciate you guys approving that standard tonight. We have a striping project coming soon as well. I think we're still in time to get some, you know, the main intersection, get them striped. And then also very happy to announce that by the community center, we have those baseball fields that were damaged about a year and a half ago. I was able to communicate with the federal agent, the contractor that gave us an estimate back in the day, $384,000. I brought it back alive, and we should be receiving a check pretty soon here. So that's to fix all the baseball fields right next to the community center.
Yeah.
The baseball, I think the soccer fields too.
Yeah.
So all that will be redesigned and put up for bid for construction. So that's it for my update, unless you guys have any questions.
So you said Sheridan Park, right? Will be, are they going to be doing any lighting there? I mean,
It will be part of the design.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about the pool in the next conversation, but there's a lot of components. We'll present two or three alternatives to you guys, and you guys can go from there.
And that's in the amount in the, it was a $2 million something?
So Sequoia's 2.4.
Yeah, 2.4.
And then
the Sheridan Park?
2.3. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And then
that's quite a bit of money for that little park.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be like, get like real creative.
We got to make creative.
Real creative.
Because
I mean, we don't want to lose any of this funding.
Yeah.
We want to, you know,
absolutely.
use all of it. And
mm-hmm.
gee, people have.
Yeah.
I mean, they asked me a lot about this park.
Oh, yeah. No,
city
engineer.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was
so
popular, you know.
Yeah, city manager.
Jacob,
myself.
You know, all the baseball out there and everything. I mean,
there's
the
be a
community
lot of,
used it, I mean,
yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of options out there, so we can go from there.
Yeah.
And the city manager and myself, we've been working really hard to keep those grants because they're like three quarters, almost a year behind in reporting. So we were able to catch up. We talked to the grant manager.
So there's a date?
Well, not only was there a date, but there's a reporting. We have to report to them what we're doing. Even if we're not doing something, we still got to get online with them and fill out the information.
Every quarter.
And some of them were three quarters behind, not even done. So they were actually going to pull them from us. We had to get on the phone for like an hour and a half, kind of beg. But we got to keep on.
Yeah,
we're still in line to get about $17, $18 million worth of grants in the books right now. Plus, we're also going to be able to go back. You spent about $829,000 last year out of general fund money on grants that were never
reimbursed
from the state. So you have to take the receipt, send it to the state, and they're going to give you the money back. So we got another $800,000 coming. So that's money that was just, we just had to locate it.
Yeah.
And we're locating more, so.
I don't remember. I mean, I know we met at the community center out there or over here. Ya ni me acuerdo, it's been a while. Anyway, to, you know, go, Alfonso Manriquez made a presentation of the Sheridan Park and, you know, what all, you know, we can do out there. But my desire, I know it's not a large park, but I mean, people request a water park all the time. You know, and I don't know if it was in there, that information, from when we, you know, was
yes.
presented to us by Alfonso.
I think Sheridan has a water component.
The
so
water component,
it's
yes.
Maybe there's splash.
Yes, because
water,
I mean,
you know?
We have all this money, we better,
yeah, if it's
you know,
okay with you guys and everyone, you know, on a consensus.
Yeah, and I know it's costly, but I mean, 2.3 for that little park, you know?
Yeah, we can get creative.
Let's sure. get really creative on how we can
absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely.
Darwin, wasn't there a splash park at the Sequoia?
I think there was a splash box on this one.
On this one,
meeting, but then we ran out of money.
Yeah, they said it wouldn't work here, but I think, did they mention the Sequoia park?
I can look into it. Council member, I can look into it.
It would be interesting that maybe you can contact the city of Reedy, because they did one, a splash park right there on Reed Avenue, right off the gas station.
Where the old pool used to be?
Yeah,
there's that one, and there's a nice one going into Arosti as well.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of people from Orange Cove do go that way.
Certainly, I'll get some pricing and we'll talk to the engineers.
That would be good.
Sure.
Find out.
So on a lot of this stuff, we had to start from scratch again, because the things were withheld. So again, it takes time to design, and you had to start from scratch again and go forward. So we're getting it back to you. It's just we didn't have anything to come back with. We started it. It all came back from scratch, so they've been working really hard on it.
Thank you, Danny.
All right. Oh, just one more thing. There's two rounds of FEMA. How much are we getting back on the first one?
So I talked to Water. We're getting it's over $1 million.
So that's money that Dario and Joe got together. Joe started it and has been working with FEMA on that, presenting all our overtime hours, even a truck that broke an axle, they're going to reimburse that, a leaky roof due to the wind and all of that. So all of that added up to $1 million. There's another round two, and that one should be helping us with more funds. So that's just money coming right back to us.
And this is going to be used for?
That's just going in our bank.
Just the city or for?
It's being split between the water.
And wastewater.
And wastewater and the city, because the overtime hours and so forth.
Yeah, so
it's going to go to different pots.
Yeah, we'll have to upfront the money, but then we get reimbursed to FEMA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because like the overtime we paid came out of fund, but they're going to reimburse us the overtime. So that's good. Get money back.
Great.
And that was for the rain that we have?
Yeah. All of that gets reimbursed. So it's just a matter of putting together a big spreadsheet and reporting to the state, and then we'll go from there.
And when do you plan on having that?
So we already submitted for the first round, and we should be expecting something within the next 6 weeks, tops. So that's for the first round. Second round, we're working with FEMA. We meet with them on a weekly basis. So.
And they're great. They like point you in directions. They're like, you want to do that too.
They've been very helpful.
Very helpful.
Good. Good to hear.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any questions, council? Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, building and planning on 7B subject report by building and planning director Sean Patlan. They have your whole name here. this is my grandfather's name.
Is it really?
Yes.
It was
not very common. Not very common at all.
It was my grandfather's name on my dad's shirt.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's very...
very unique.
It's like a... old school.
My other brother
back
got,
in the day.
My other brother's got regular names like John and Richard.
And you were lucky. You were the lucky one.
I consider myself lucky, yes.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Anyway, thank you, Mayor and members of the council. I'll give you a brief update on some of the projects. I'm going to start with Martinez, because Martinez has six more lots. They're planning on closing those six lots tomorrow. So they'll be handing in keys to new property owners tomorrow. And with that, that'll wrap up the Martinez project. We're looking at doing a final walkthrough, which is required on subdivision maps. We're planning to schedule that tentatively for Monday or Tuesday of next week. And if everything is in order, if complied with everything that the plans call for and the development agreement calls for, then we'll be coming before you with an approval for a notice of completion, so we can file that with the county. And that'll close out that project. And they also completed this week the reconstruction, repaving of that section on Martinez. We were getting a lot of complaints from the residents riding through there. So the council agreed to participate on that, because they were only required to do half of that section where they tied into water and sewer for that new subdivision.
Uh-huh.
So we went ahead and did a joint project. So it's all done. We're going to do an inspection of that work next week also. And once that done, then we'll authorize a payment for that. So I think we got a good price on that, because he was going to be out there with his crews anyway. So it would have costed us, if we would have done that project, it would have cost the city $60,000 to do. And participating at 50%, the city paid $30,000. And we're going to get that out of street funds. We have Major C as we're talking today, some other street funds. So we'll be getting that money out of those funding sources. Now they're going to be focused on Macias track, because they also own the Macias track over here. They have some also bulldozers out there. They've been just about done with all their grading, and they're gonna be submitting their final map. They're just waiting for the engineers to finish that map. They've been after them. I don't know what the delay is, but they're ready to go. They've got a lot of buyers already in line for those houses. So it's all a matter of getting their engineer to submit the map to us so we can review and approve and bring to the council. And then they will get started with all the infrastructure. All the infrastructure stuff is ready, it's been approved, the plans have. So as soon as we get the map, then they're gonna start working on the improvements, which is the water, sewer, and all that stuff.
How many homes?
There's 39 houses.
39, yeah.
39
homes. I was thinking 34.
Yeah, and he's also looking at introducing some larger homes there, like 2,000 square feet, two stories. So he's getting some requests for those. I know on this other subdivision, there were a single story and up to 1,600 square feet. So he's already showed us a couple of models that he's planning to do. So he's moving forward on that, and we're looking at getting some work and getting work started there in a couple of months. Lawson Heights, that's the 6.5 acres industrial park. Escrow closed on July the 17th, and the city received the proceeds via wire transfer. Mr. Young called on July the 19th and requested all the land entitlement applications, because they have to do some rezoning there, general plan amendments. So we sent them all the information they need. So they're preparing to file, and we're just anticipating to receive their applications within the next couple of weeks. Once we receive their applications, we'll do the environmental review on that, and then we'll bring it before the council to change that zoning. They're going to change the zoning from industrial to a multi-residential. And we probably all know now that the HCD approved the land sales. We didn't have any issues with them. We got the letter from them, and that's how we're able to proceed.
Mm-hmm.
So the ball's on Mr. Young's court, and we'll do whatever we can to speed it up. The other 6.5 acres at the industrial park, that's Mr. Singh. That one closed also on July the 7th. And we did receive the money wire transfer into the city. And he is also going to build a multifamily on that. Our discussions with Mr. Singh is that he's going to concentrate on the commercial 8 acres first. And that's going to tie me into an update on that one. So I'll move on.
That's the Universal Properties?
That's the Universal Properties, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mr. Singh also bought 8 acres behind Burger King.
Uh-huh.
On May the 23rd, he submitted a tentative parcel map. He's going to split that 8 acres into several other acres. Our team and staff reviewed it along with the engineer, and we submitted comments to them July the 10th. I spoke with their project reps yesterday, and they're ready to resubmit on Friday. I'm going to meet with their team and review those. And if they are in compliance and have everything we requested from them, then we will be doing the environmental work, and then we bring it to the Planning Commission. And we're looking at maybe the middle of September, we'll be able to bring that to the Planning Commission for approval.
And he hasn't specified what he wants to do.
No, but right? I'm gonna push him. I'm gonna push him to see if he can give me some more information.
Yeah, we want to know.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Because they want to move pretty quickly and get this tentative map approved, so that way they can. He can build on that 1 acre he wants to build on, and he's going to try and get franchises to buy the other acres. But when I meet with him Friday, I'm going to push him to see if he can give me some more detailed information as to what kind of businesses or commercial chains he wants to bring on. So Friday will be the day. About a year or so ago, the council authorized the sale of an acre to Mr. Jesus Lara at the industrial park.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, we met with his project engineer. So he came and got some applications also. He wanted some more detail. So he is going to start to design that layout and site plan for Mr. Lara's project. He's going to do an automotive repair towing shop. That does not require a rezone because it's already industrial. It's allowed there. So all he'll need to do is submit to the city the site plan, and we'll be able to review the site plan, and hopefully we'll get that within the next 30 days. But we do got communication from him, so that's good, and they're moving forward with that money.
He's local, isn't he?
He's local, yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Susla.
Does he own any of the businesses here?
No, I don't believe so.
No.
I don't believe so. let me see, housing element. I have an update at the council on the housing element. On July the 24th, staff put together a bunch of response comments that they asked us for. They asked us for an intense amount of information. So on July the 24th, we sent out all the information that they required. And we have not heard of any additional information they need, so we're hoping that all the information we gave them was adequate. So some of the timelines that they gave us from here on in on that, let's see, they gave us some timeline. The public review of the, release of the draft housing element is scheduled to come out mid-August, which is next week. Then after that, there's going to be a public review. It'll be a 30-day public review that's required. That'll be from mid-August to mid-September. That way we can get any comments, and we'll be advertising that, and we'll get all the comments that we get on that. After that, then we're going to submit the draft housing element to HCD, Department of Housing and Community Development, and that'll be for a 90-day review period. Once we receive HCD's comments, end of the 90 days, it would be mid to late December of this year. Then we'll respond to those comments late 23 and early 24, and we're looking at adopting the housing element in the spring or summer of 24. Now, I know Dan has discussed with me on several occasions the importance of getting the housing element adopted. We understand that that's supposed to be adopted by the end of this year, but because of all the new legislation that came about on housing elements that we're required to do, that's taking a lot longer for them to complete this. So, that being said, we expressed that to the consultant that is preparing this, and they responded and saying that, well, HCD is aware of the state's new regulations and requirements, that they're going to be working with the cities, and they're not going to bring down the hammer on any city because they don't get it adopted by the end of the year. So they're going to be willing to work with us on extending that deadline to next spring or summer. So we're not at risk of losing any funding, according to the COG consultants. So we're moving forward with that as quickly as we can. We provide them all the information they asked of the city. So now it's all the review period time that we're going to go through. Any questions on the housing element? Let me see. We have received Monday. We received some plans, some construction plans for a new donut shop, City Donuts out of Wrigley. Apparently, they purchased the property on Park Avenue and Fifth, right in the corner, and produced the old hardware store. They're gonna divide that in half. They're gonna take half of that. They've already submitted the interior layout for us to review and approve. And then the other half, they're going to have some lease space, rental space. So as soon as we get that reviewed and approved, we'll send it off to the health department. They can do their review and approval, and then we can go ahead and authorize the building permit for them to get started on that.
Sean, it went by through my ears really fast. Where is this location?
Where the hardware used to be. The park and Fifth.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, they're going to be doing some
nice. And that's work. Right smack in the middle of town. Yeah.
So they're excited. They're excited, and we're gonna help them as fast as we can to get.
Wow. So they really want to do this.
They want to come in. They want to come into the community.
Wow, coffee and donuts. Hmm.
So that you said they're from Reedy, right?
Yeah, City Donuts are from Reedy. Yes.
Is that the one by Lincoln School?
No.
Where am I?
Like Subway. Payless used to be.
Yeah, Payless used to be.
So the ones like they're good ones.
Payless by McDonald's and all that. Okay. Where's Payless?
Where Payless used to be.
Where Big Lots is? That location on that side
across.
Okay. Last but not least, we wanted to bring to the attention, building department and code enforcement, Mr. Carl Lockridge. We've been working on a lot of code enforcement complaints. We're up to about 30 now. We have two that have come to the end of the process, and we'd like to get the direction from the council. What's going to happen now is we've given them the first notice, the second notice, we've given them some extensions, and they're still not wanting to cooperate. So what we can do now is the municipal code will allow us to do, we'll go through a process, we'll go through a hearing, and then we can get our city attorney's office, Megan, to help us with an abatement warrant. But what that's going to cost, it's going to cost the city some upfront money to get that abated. The two properties that we have in question is located at 203 Park Avenue, which is right over here where that old brick building fell, and there's a lot of debris there. And according to our code enforcement officer, there's some homeless people now there. So that is something that we need to take care of right away. We'd like the direction tonight from the council, although we need to find the funding for that. So we'll be talking to Dan and Ellie when she gets back to see where we can get that funding, because it's probably going to be general fund money. So that estimating, I haven't got no contractor's estimates, but I think it's going to be somewhere within $10,000 to $15,000 to get that cleaned up. Because we're going to have to get involved the San Joaquin Air Quality Board, because we don't know there's any type of asbestos or other chemicals in that old building. So we got to get that taken care of first, tested, and then once it's cleared, then we can get that all cleared off the property. Then we lien the property for the amount of the expenses. And hopefully we can get that, who knows when we get that back, but if it sells or if it's refinanced or whatever that is, then we'll see if we get paid up that time. The other one is at 433 Center Street. That's the one right over here where it's, it looked like they started building a house there several years ago, and it's just about leaning. It's a dangerous situation. So we're asking the council to give us authorization or direction to move forward in abatement of those properties. So if you give that authority today or direction, then we will pursue, we'll start the process to do so.
It's a very big liability to the city.
It is very huge.
I mean, that structure's ready to fall.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably have one nail on it.
That process will probably take about another 30 to 45 days.
Yeah. I mean, it's really bad.
Yeah, it is.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, and the school's there. I mean, it's, you know.
We'll work. If the council gives a direction, we'll work with City Manager and Nelly.
You're saying they have not responded to you at all?
Carl and I have communicated with them. They keep asking for extensions, and you know, we try to work with them as best we can, but if there is no progress at all, then that's why we're here tonight, trying to get your direction on that, because this one over here is getting worse because of the homeless people. I mean, not because of them, but because of the situation.
Yeah. It's an eyesore too.
Yeah, it's an eyesore.
That's right to the corner where everybody comes into town, you know?
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it is.
They see something like that, then they go, shh, you turn. Right back out.
What do you need?
Well, we just need you guys to say kind of yes, no approval needed, just get, you got direction. So what we'll do is, it'll be general fund money. I think both of them should come out to about $25,000 max total.
Yeah.
But it's worth it, especially with the issue that's going on over there. It'll make your city nicer, a lot more attractive. We'll make one more effort, just say, hey, this is what we're gonna do. You've got 5 days, you don't do anything, then we're moving forward. So all you have to say is, you know, consensus, yes.
Yeah.
That concludes my report, unless you have comments, any questions on any of the items.
Questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
My dad will be proud.
Okay, we're going to go on to 7-C Police Department, report by Police Chief Javier Peña. Chief?
I promise I'll be very quick on this one. Good evening again to everybody. I'll start with the police crime stats, part one, crimes. It'll be pretty thorough. Our assaults are down. That's a good thing. Burglaries remain the same as the month before. And the only thing that's significantly gone up a little bit is our grand theft autos. We expect that with the summer months because everybody's out and about. We have a lot of traffic and the whole nine yards. Narcotics arrests are also up, as you can see, about 400%. That just means officers have been arresting individuals with that. And that concludes it for the part one crimes. On the part two crimes, everything is pretty steady. We've held and maintained that. So if you have any questions on part two crimes, I'll take any of those questions. If not, I'll just move forward. Cool. All right, so I just wanted to give a real quick recap on the department. Right now, we hired a reserve officer level one, Nicholas Sandoval. He's already started the orientation and the field training process, which is good for us. It's going to add another body on the street for the department, which is great. So he should be done maybe in about 3 months if everything goes good. We also have two officers or applicants in backgrounds right now. They're also going to be for reserve. We're trying to build our reserve pool. I spoke to Dan, and it's probably the best thing that we can do because it'll give us from where to pull officers if we ever need coverage or anything like that. And right now, our reserve pool is literally zero, so we need them. The other thing I wanted to give out and explain to the council so the community also understands what's going on and to be transparent is I like to give credit where credit is due. And these officers have been doing an outstanding job right now. And what I mean by that is we've had incidents. We had a shooting about 2 weeks ago, maybe three. Fortunately, nobody was hit. The officers worked the investigation so much so that they even ended up writing a search warrant, and we executed a search warrant. We located the firearms, and we also located the suspect, and to the best of my knowledge, he's still in custody at this time and point, which is a good thing, and it was gang-related. Also, we initiated a multi-agency collaborative crime suppression team. This was made up of various agencies like Sanger, Selma, Kingsburg, Fowler, Parlier. And everybody teamed up, and we went to every single city. When we hit our city, we came out with two arrests, parole violation and narcotics arrest, which is a good thing. And then we reciprocated that effort by sending our officers to their agencies and helping them out in suppression as well, which is a great thing for the city and even the surrounding ones. Also, just an update, I know many of you asked in the past what happened with the sheriff departments when they came into our city. And they were on the northern part of town. That was based off of a marijuana grow that was located by their airship. The Fresno, it's called Eagle One. They'll send them out to patrol the county cities by contract at times. And when they do flyovers, that's when they can realize or see stuff that is significant to them, and they'll report it back. And then they can deal with it, or they can hand it over to the local agency. Of course, Fresno Sheriff has a lot more resources, so they're able to move a lot quicker. And this way it saves us also time from having to get tied up in a big massive operation. And I don't know the full details, but I do know it was a marijuana grow with extensive plants out there. So that's the story on that. Other than that, the department is operating good. Like I said, it is a busy summer. We're down to maybe the last few weeks. We are hoping to, I think Dan's aware of the cops now. We're waiting for that. And we're very hopeful because that'll give us an additional funding money for additional officers, which we're looking forward to. And I believe that's it for the department. The last thing I have is National Night Out. As you all know, we moved it from the certain date we were going to have it over to October 3rd. I think it'll be a little bit better for weather and all that stuff. It'll be the first time we host it in October. Also, we've collected a lot of donation, which is a good thing. The community and the support that we've had is tremendous. I reached out to the Boys and Girl Club. I know that Isaiah is looking out to reach out to other companies and partnerships to help us out with informational booths and activities for the children, which I think is going to be a great effort. And we always have a big turnout, so hopefully that turns out to be the same thing this year again. But other than that, I have no more for you guys. Unless you guys have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Let me just add two things. On the cops grant, the gentleman that they hired right now, he's hired as a 960 employee. Because if the cop grant comes in, then we can convert him because it's a new hire. Otherwise, we're still going to hire him down the road. It's just, it made it easier this way because the cops grant will pay half the salary for 3 years. And then we'll have enough money to get another officer, and hopefully we can work with Magic and make him that officer over there so that we can get more of these suppression raids, which will be good for the city. To send a message to the folks that, you know, it's not going to be easy for you here. One thing he did leave off, and, you know, I'm very proud of them, a driver over the bridge noticed two little bobbing heads, and it was two kids in the canal. And if they'd got to the bridge, they wouldn't have made it. But his officers responded, and they saved him. So, you know, good job.
I also want to thank your officers, because I know by where I live, there's been, like, family crisis issues, and they were out to respond really quick. I've seen that for, like, a whole week. They hit that house in a specific house.
Yes, I appreciate it.
And, you know, right now with the suicidal mental health, it's a very big issue in our community.
and just to see the police to go out there and see the paramedics to go on and help, that means, you know, the residents, does matter to somebody.
Oh, it definitely does. And what I can tell you guys, what I've seen in the last 14, 15 years now is that the community is engaging a lot more. We have an anonymous tip line. I can tell you that 5-6 years ago, it would barely ring. Now it's ringing all the time. We're getting the community more involved, and those are our eyes and ears out there. And we never disclose names, we never disclose anything like that because we want to earn the trust. But it leads us to do better investigations throughout the city, and we protect the identity and all that of the individuals. So it's been a good turnout.
I have a question before you do. I've seen the new patrol cars.
Yes.
Are they going to be unveiled pretty soon? I've seen one that is really good.
You know, that we're waiting. The only thing, the graphics are attached and everything's ready to go. They're just not patrol ready because we need to put the partition, the equipment, the lighting. And the only holdback on that is Cook's communication. It's very backed up because they do FSOs, they do Fresno, they do everybody. Okay. So we have to wait our slot, and our slot's been probably coming close to another 3 weeks before we can get our units in.
Oh, okay.
And then 2 weeks additional for installation, and then they'll be patrol ready, and that's when we'll do the... show them to everybody, all the new look. They look really nice. I think everybody's going to like them, and I think it's a new move for the city and the department, so people can see how it's just progressing slowly but surely. But I think it's going to be pretty exciting once we get them out of patrol.
Cool.
All right, guys, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Really appreciate all your hard work and your dedication to this community, and, you know, your... This council and myself, I mean, we're willing to do work with you in any way, which way to make this community better. And you tell your officers that they're doing an outstanding job. And I've seen them, I mean, I've seen them out there. And thank you so much. Thank you for all your hard work and dedication, once again. Okay, 7D, Tom is in here, so.
He normally does them at the end of the month, but I put it in there just in case
just
he shows up who wants to do it.
So. Okay. Okay, we're going to go on to public comment. Anybody from the audience?
And these remarks are 3 minutes.
3 minutes? Is there a...
You got a timer.
Yeah.
Mayor Silva, City Council members, I'm going to preface my comments just on the police response, because the promotions earlier reminded me of when my son was pinned a police officer, violence, and then it's amazing work that they do and put their lives on the line every day. So I appreciate Chief Pendleton back there. I also want to comment the city, commend the city. It feels like a refreshing atmosphere with what's going on in the city, with staff and everybody involved. You can feel it in the air, you can see what's going on out there. So I feel that the city's heading in the right direction. It's good. However, nobody's perfect. And so that's why I'm here today. So, and I'm going to go through our bullet points. I know I'm limited to 3 minutes. So, as you know, Pendleton's Bowl has been serving Orange Cove for many, many years. It's kept the city in compliance with all laws required by the state. We continue that process today. The recent RFQ for waste services that went out was a complete surprise to our company. There's many questions that remain to the legality of the process and the act that we were negotiating in good faith with the prior city council and city council city manager. So on September 7th, we went to city attorney, former city manager Rudy Hernandez, consultants, representatives Angela Hall. During the meeting, we discussed cost implementation for 1383, which is a food waste component, which is a game changer for the state of California. Also discussed the option of having Peñas to take over the billing for the city, which we agreed to do. Mr. Hernandez recognized the city's current rates were extremely low. We kept the rates low for the city and the residents all these years. Actually, we're operating at a loss currently. So he said the city disposal needed to be reviewed, the rate study needed to be conducted. Mr. Hernandez also asked about the possibility of putting waste services on a tax roll, which the city attorney said she's familiar with that process and it could be done. So phone discussions with Mr. Hernandez included a need to amend the contract for 1383 purposes, as well as a term extension to deal with the costs associated with implementation services. On December 14th, the city council took action to approve the rate study by SES engineers. Peñas moved forward with assisting in the rate study, providing all requested documentation. We actually helped the previous city staff because As you're aware, the previous city staff needed some help, and we helped them all along the way. On March 28th, we had a conference call scheduled with SES engineers and city manager Hernandez, and we were informed that he had a lot of work for the city. And we had a new city manager in place. So we reached out to the city, had a meeting with the city manager, Dario, on May the 12th. Mr. Parra rightly said he was busy getting his desk in order, a lot of things on his plate, police being number one, completely understand that. Said he would get back to us with the waste contracts, we could continue negotiations or discuss it. So no further communication was received from Mr. Parra, and I'm sorry if I'm going over.
I'm going to let it finish, yeah.
Thank you, I appreciate that. So no communication was received at all. And in fact, the RFQ, we were not aware of until it came out. We were told by a third party that the RFQ had come out. So this series of events can only be seen, in my opinion, as an attempt to remove decades of loyal service to this community, and we continue to provide that loyal service. For no stated reasons, other than to be replaced by a company who may have a relationship with current city administration. That's just the way it looks to me. There was no mention of raising the RFQ process. So we don't know what the rates are going to be to the city residents or the businesses. I do know that we were providing the lowest rates, and it baffled me that the city wouldn't continue the negotiations, because we were very transparent. Along the way, we were transparent with what the process was. We had no contact with the city, and the city had no contact with us. We reached out to the city and the city attorney. My attorneys have reached out to their attorney, so with no comment back. So I'm asking that the city council at this point just stop the RFQ process, have staff go back to negotiations that we had before, and to finish the process that we were going. If in the end they decided the process was not bad, continue the RFQ process, and by all means, we'll go from there. I think at this time the city is being put at a serious risk of financial and legal risk. The residents don't need that. The city doesn't need that. Your constituents, I think, deserve more. And our company, I think, deserves more. We're more than capable of providing the services. We've been doing it for years. So that's really all I have to say. I know you can't comment, but I ask that from the city council. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? No? Okay. We're going to go on to 9 city manager's report.
I have 2 items. One, just to let you know that I was with Mr. Mendez earlier, Supervisor Mendez, and he, because I've been asking, well, he's been asked before too, he was looking into it also, putting a stop sign, making it a 4-way stop on Crawford. And Adams, unfortunately, had an accident not too long ago and lost somebody there. But going forward, come September, there will be a stop sign. So just want to let you know.
Dan, I have trouble hearing. I don't know what's wrong with my ears.
We're putting a stop, let me go real close, we're putting a stop sign on Crawford. It's going to become 4-way. Crawford and Adams.
Oh, Crawford and Adams.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That'll be 4-way now.
Yeah, okay.
And that'll help a lot with, hopefully, with traffic accidents. Number 2 will be, and I hope you guys want it, I want to do a trunk or treat for Halloween. Out here, have a city event, vendors, do it in the evening, like 5 o'clock or something, 5:30. For a couple hours, just handing out candy with the kids. So it's a safe, controlled area. And like I said, we got some vendors out here also. So if you're okay with that, I'll go ahead and start getting ready.
I know the fire department has, and the police, right? You do something for, don't you?
The annual tradition?
What we do, yeah, we go to the daycare, the AYS every year, so we send a patrol out there.
We'll have everybody located here. We can unveil. So you'll already have unveiled, and by then you'll have nights out. So you've already had the new police office, the cars out here. But you know, we'll have fire truck come on, put something out here, and we'll make it a nice night. So.
Good.
And that is it for my report.
Okay, going to
10
city attorney's report.
I have nothing to report.
Nothing. City Council? I'd just like to take this time to thank everybody in the community. I know everybody, a lot of people have been praying for me. And I have felt those prayers, and I thank you. And I thank God that He has let me be here. And thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I'd just like to say nobody asks for you know, adversity to come their way, but it does happen. And I just, you know, just once again, I mean, there's a lot of people in the community that have reached out to me and that's been praying for me, and I really, really appreciate that, and I really thank God for that. I really thank God for it. I know Mayor Pro Tem has really been encouraging me, and that's that means a lot to me, Gilbert. It means a lot. I mean, my family, it just, they're just like, can you do this? Can you continue? Yeah, I can. And with God willing, you know, I just thank God for that and for this time. And I'm glad to see faces, you know, that I haven't seen in a while. I love my community. I mean, I would have ever wanted, you know, become mayor or anything if I didn't, you know, love my community. I put my community first. It's always first. God, my family, my community, and it's really, really important to me. And once again, I'd like to thank you, you know, for being patient with me. You know, there was a lot of, well, you know, or you get all kinds of comments, whatever. They really don't bother me. I'd like to tell you that much. They don't bother me. Because I know who I am. I know who God is. Mm-hmm. I know what my calling is. You know, I know where my stance is. So it really doesn't bother me. I just, like, I'm a duck. You know, and I thank God, you know, that he has given me that sense of being, you know, that I know who I am. And knowing that God's there for me and that you have really reached out, you know, to me, I really, really, you know, really, really appreciate that, because when you're in a predicament, you don't know where you're going. I mean, the only way you can look, when you're down, the only way you can look is up. And I really thank everybody here, you know, the council, especially, like I said, Mayor Pro Tem, he's a very great encourager. You know, the churches, I know they've all been praying for me, and I really thank them for that. My sissy Sandy, I love her very much. Thank you, Sandy. I love you with all my heart. With all my heart, you know that. I mean, she wasn't feeling good today. She says, but are you going to be there? And I said, yes, I have to. And I thank God. I really do. I really do. And I just pray, you know, that God just, you know, does something great for the city. You know, and working together, that's what it takes. It takes working together. Maybe we don't look, have to see eye to eye, but working together, we need to work together with everybody. I mean, that was my vision at the very beginning. You know, I want to unite this community. It's been a divided community, you know, and I don't want it divided. I want everybody working together, because that's the only way that we're ever going to, you know, become anything or have anything, you know, that God, you know, if we're not together, I mean, God's not going to be there with us. He's just not. I mean, we need to learn to work together, and I'm saying this for myself. You know, I don't have to, you know, say you or whatever, it's me. You know, it starts here with me. You know, learn to work with everybody, you know, in the way, best way possible. If you want to talk to me, I mean, make an appointment with me, I'll sit down and talk to you. You know, we have the police department to think about, we have the boys and girls, you know, to think about, the children, we have the seniors to think of, you know, we have the handicap in this community, you know, to think on that, you know, especially with we have the Sequoia Park coming in. It's going to be geared towards the handicap, and I'm really, you know, I haven't spoken to Dan about this, but at the very beginning, I know I told Mayor Pro Tem, I told him, I go, you know what, we need a newsletter going out at least once a month. We need it. I know I haven't told you, Dan, because I've been hit, whatever. But I want a newsletter going out. I know we can't make any decisions right now. It's only council communication. But I want my community to know what is going on. I mean, we have Jacob here, you know, involved with the softball. I mean, very active. In our community, he wants to know what's going on. I mean, not only Gloria también, I mean, you're always here, and because you want to know what's going on, Stephanie, and I'm just saying these things because these are the people that I know. You know, Isaiah, I know, is always here. And but our community, my community needs to know what we're doing.
You can do one of two things. You can do a Mayor's Corner comments on the website, updated as needed, and folks can get the message that way. I would say if we're going to do this letter, we got to put it out with the water bill because it can be costly. It can cost about $1,500 a pop. So, but I'll need information from you all on events, things that you attend, things that you want. You know, we can recap some of the things we talk about, but unless it has a message from you all, some kind of a profile every time, I mean, that's needed also. So we need one or two ways. We can put it out in the mailer. People look at it in the water bill if they want to. If not, or we can make it available on the website. We can do one of two ways.
I think like a newsletter probably would be good, maybe like a quarterly one, maybe four times a year. You know, you put everything together for the upcoming events, for the months that we're going to be doing the events for the city. That would
be great because staff, you know, we do run very thin here, so somebody would have to be tasked with that.
It's just something that, Dan, that I, you know, it's really in my heart because I don't think we only did it like very, I don't know, hit and miss. It was just very hit and miss.
We'll do one in September and then one in December again. We'll get ready for you next month. So we'll go back and some of the projects we talk about tonight, let people know what's going on, what we're doing going forward. And then you can all take turns writing up a profile on it and put it out there.
Yeah. And right now, what's your name? Sorry.
Rosa Garcia.
Just says Spanish.
Yeah, because Spanish. Our people out there, the community, speak Spanish.
Yes, they do.
And a lot of those folks are not going to go on a website.
Yeah, no, you're right.
They already know how to dial a phone.
Yeah.
Much more going to look into all these going on.
No, so. You're right. Thank you. Thank you for that input.
English and Spanish.
Yeah, thank you for that input. Because I wasn't thinking about it right now. Thank you so much. You know, it's everybody working together. Everybody, that's what I want. I really want to see that. You know, we can come to the table, let our differences aside, and, you know, just focus in what this community needs. Because I want this community flourished. I really do.
I think we all do.
Yeah. We all do. You know, we, as a council, we wouldn't be here, you know. I mean, I'm not in it for anything. I love my community. You know, when I was 18 years old, I was thinking about being on the council, because it, I mean, something was drawing me. It was God, first of all. But thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate all of you, you know, being here and your input. It means a lot. It really means a lot. And thank you so much once again. Where am I at? Nobody else? Can we get council communications? No additional comments, questions? Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.